What the EFL? It's the Football League podcast crammed with Championship chat. Coming up, we look ahead to the new season in the Championship, focusing on all 24 teams. And we'll have a quick chat about what happened on match day one in Leagues 1 and 2. Powered by Quinbet. This is What the EFL. And after the success of our preview pod for Leagues 1 and 2 last week, we thought we'd come back and chat the Championship. It's me, Matt Davis-Adams, and I'm joined by two men who simply cannot wait for Tier 2 to kick off after the thrills and spills of opening weekend in Leagues 1 and 2. Sam Parkin was at Luton for their, I'm going to call it, so-so victory against Wimbledon on Friday night. Sam, did you enjoy the occasion, if not the football on offer?
Yeah, I think the first day of the season as a player or as a pundit now is always really exciting. I think new signings, generally it's quite warm, short sleeve weather. We had that debate on this podcast. I think we have shirt sleeve weather. What's the terminology that really riled us last season?
Shirt sleeve's not good, is it?
But shirt sleeve, no, it's very 80s, isn't it? I don't even know what it means. But it was great to get stuck back in. I think I said to you last week on the podcast, I was walking around the house in circles, desperate for some meaningful soccer. So not sure we got the best game on Friday. More on that later. But great to be back amongst it.
And Adrian Clark, you took a lovely photo of Valley Parade that I saw on X, formerly known as Twitter. Your social media content has really stepped up a notch in the last few months, and it was good to see that progressing.
Yeah, I'm trying to make an effort. It's gorgeous up in Bradford. But at the time I took that photo, my mouth was burnt. First bite of the first pie of the new season. What was I thinking going straight in with the bite out of the packet? You've got to cut it open and give it air to breathe, haven't you? And I didn't do that. So I nursed a quite sore and burnt roof of my mouth.
I feel like I'm going to be annoyed straight off the bat here. You must have had a Balti pie.
I was thinking Balti as well. But
steak, yeah. No.
Really?
Yeah, steak pie.
At Bradford?
Yeah, why?
Bradford famous for their Balti pies, I think.
Come on.
It is a risk before broadcasting, though, isn't it? Going with having a bit of spice.
Yeah, I don't love Balti pies. I've had them before. I like a Balti at the Indian, but in a pie, I'm not so sure.
It's just thinking north of Watford Gap, you've got to have the Balti. I think, you know, my northern friends, certainly my mates of a Sheffield Wednesday persuasion and the like, they'd say you've got to have the Balti, I think.
All right, let us know at EFL What the on X, what is your pre-match or mid-match snack of choice? Before we get into our Championship preview then, let me remind you, our partners Quinbet have got a new offer for you. You can now get 50% back up to £25. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £25, minimum 3 bets. Even if your account's up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T&C supply, it's 18 plus and for new UK customers only. Visit gambleaware.org for information on responsible gambling. All right, we're going to get into our Championship preview then. And we've done it in alphabetical order rather than where we think teams are going to finish in the league. Tradition is our passion. So that's why we are starting, Adrian, with Birmingham City. Last season, they won League One with an EFL record 111 points. You get the feeling they're not going to be happy to just be back in the Championship and finishing 17th in it, as was their want for many a year. I saw them this past weekend live and in living colour at St Andrews against Forest. Thought they looked pretty good. How are you feeling about them?
You beat Forest, didn't they? I think they're going to be really solid. I don't think they're going to be easy to score against. What will be interesting will be how much of the ball they have, because they obviously were so possession heavy in League One and completely controlled games and dominate from start to finish. Are they good enough to do that in the Championship? My feeling is that they will be in a lot of matches. I like the players that they've brought in. Obviously, Tommy Doyle, a standout from Wolves. Damari Gray brings a little bit of X factor as well. Furuhashi, the former Celtic player, is knocking on a bit. He might play back up to Jay Stansford at first, but he's a very useful player to have in your armoury. So yeah, I think that Birmingham City are going to be... I think they're going to be in the playoffs almost for sure. I just feel that Chris Davis has constructed a very strong squad. They have great momentum, and tactically, They know what they're doing. Will they get Tube Rap on? There's a bit of a saga going on. I think Ipswich are trying to steal him from under their noses. But I fancy Birmingham to have a really, really strong campaign.
Yeah, Chris Davis, clearly more popular with Tom Brady than Wayne Rooney was. Thought Bright SA Samuel looked like a good signing for them as well, because they've a bit of championship now back in there as well. And Beadle's about in goal, albeit it looks like Ryan Allsop might start the season as the number one, so we shall see with them. Now then, Sam, Blackburn Rovers, a team who we have oft been criticised for not mentioning enough on this podcast. Now's the time to turn it around. Seventh last season, just a couple of points off the playoffs. I don't know about you, but I'm not feeling like they're going to be pushing for the playoffs again this time around.
No, I think they'd, despite it meaning that they miss out on the playoffs, I think they'd snap your hand off for seventh right now, in truth. Not sure what we're going to get from Valerian Ismail. I'm not sure I could give you an overall critique of exactly how his teams have looked, probably over his last couple of gigs. Real identity when he first came to this country and took charge of Barnsley. But I think the job subsequently, his teams have looked a little bit different. And this is a new Blackburn without Dolan, Vyman, Rankin Costello. Not sure raided's the word, but a number of players from across Europe, Portuguese and Belgium leagues. Sean McLaughlin, the centre-back from Hull's come in. But yeah, not enamoured by their signings, not enamoured by their squad in an attacking sense. And I think goal scoring was probably their biggest issue last year. Only Millwall, fewer goals in the top 10. Ahashi, I suppose, showed glimpses last year. It sounds like Gay's going to be moving on. So they need a little bit of help in that department. But I suppose you can't discount the way they ended last season. 4 wins and 2 draws in their last 6. And if you remember, had they won at Sheffield United, I think they'd have sneaked into the playoffs. So this is a side that ended the season well, but I would be pessimistic on their chances. And I think a top half finish, if they are to remain with Valerian Ismail and the nucleus of the squad they got right now, would probably be an achievement.
Speaking of teams who begin with B, who've made slightly underwhelming appointments of former Barnsley managers after missing out on promotion last season, we come to Bristol City. Clarkie, I mean, the big news there is the exit of Liam Manning, right? Gerhard Struber in. If I was a Robin, I'd probably be feeling a little underwhelmed.
Yeah, look, I'm a fan of Liam Manning. I think we all are on this particular podcast. So for me, he was their best asset and he's gone. So that's a massive blow. So they've lost Naki Wells as well, although at his age, I guess that, you know, that's, and with the money that it was on, probably that's less of a blow. Gerhard Struber, Mini Yapsdam, as they once called him back in the day, is a manager with a clear identity. You have to say that. And they did beat Viola did 4-0 at the weekend. And by all accounts, it was a tremendous performance. All about aggression, intensity, pressing, energy will be the sort of watchword around Bristol City this season. So I'm sure the players, you know, we'll buy into that. It's fun to play for a team like that. But yeah, they were short, really. I think they did brilliantly to get in the playoffs last year. I think a couple of additions are all right. Emil Reese has come in from Preston to offer a target man threat up front. He's a decent player. Adam Randell from Plymouth, I like, in midfield. And they've signed a couple of goalies. And I did think that they probably needed to change the goalkeeper. So I wouldn't say that they need to worry, but I don't think that they'll get into the playoffs again this time around. I think somewhere around mid-table, they'll revert to type, I think, this time around under Struber. If, of course, he lasts, because most championship managers don't last the season, do they?
No, and this is his third job at as many seasons after RB Salzburg and Köln, so he'll be used to it if he does get P45 at some point. Nathan Jones' position's probably pretty strong, isn't it, Sam, at Charlton? Got them up through the playoffs. Interested to get your take on them this time around, because looking at their transfer business, it looks pretty good to me so far. What do you think?
I think similar to what Clarkie just said there on Bristol City in terms of Manning, I think their greatest asset, Charlton, is Nathan Jones, given that he's had that period of difficulty, got beyond it. The methods clearly have struck a chord with the squad and what they've done. I suppose similarities to what Oxford did. I think that's the side that I was just kind of scraping my brain to find they've cherry-picked the best players from the third tier to try and make that step naturally with them. The likes of Kelman, Harvey Nibbs done in the last couple of days, Alafe from Stockport, and obviously the contingent following him down from Bedfordshire, another three he's captured from Luton. The biggest loss maybe would be Thierry Small, but they've covered that with Amari Bell, obviously a player that he knows so well and has got Premier League experience, as has Reece Burke and Thomas Kaminski. So yeah, signings that he knows, that he trusts. They'll be hard to play against. A couple of lads coming in from Blackpool as well, Carey and Apter, who I think we've probably spoken about in glowing terms on the podcast.
He's a winger, isn't he, Apter? Yeah, I like Apter.
Yeah, I think, yeah, the last 12 months or so, he's got quite a lot of plaudits for his wing play. So I think they'll just grow organically with Nathan. It'll be a scrap, I think. And probably on the face of it, their business is maybe as eye-catching as Birmingham and Wrexham. But, you know, you can't probably put them at that level and anticipate them being as strong as those two as they adapt to the second tier. But yeah, I think Nathan Jones' team's going to be hard to play against, hard to score against. They're probably not going to get a bundle. I see Kelman being almost a replica, really, of Godden, just a younger version, not particularly mobile, not going to run away from defences, but give him the ball in the 18-yard box, cut the ball back, whip the ball in. He'll finish decent with his back to goal. And obviously Godden's going to be unable to play the majority of the minutes now at his age. So a good signing, probably to start the games, and Godden maybe to come on and affect things later.
Okay, yeah. I was just going to ask you a very quick question. Out of Alafe, Kelman and Godden, who's their top scorer?
I'd probably go Kelman just, but it's a bit of a risk, isn't it? Considering he's had the one fruitful season in front of goal. Godden is your guarantee, but he's a year older. It's the Championship again, where he struggled a little bit, if memory serves, at Coventry last time out. And there's not a great deal of mobility, I don't think, in those two. Alafe is the player on the shoulder, but probably more likely, if he's going with the one, to play off either side or maybe be the impact player. So I'll go for Kelman because of the confidence to keep it rolling and maybe get himself a dozen or so.
All right, we shall see. Well, maybe a season of consolidation for them. They start against Watford on Saturday. Coventry, though, with greater ambitions, Adrian, lost the playoff semi-final in galling circumstances to Sunderland last season. Can Lamps keep them burning brightly, or was it a flash in the pan?
I think he can keep them burning brightly, actually. It's been a quiet summer so far. Not a lot of ins and outs. They've signed a pair of fullbacks and a goalkeeper. Carl Rushworth's come on loan from Brighton. He's got a good pedigree, hasn't he, in the EFL? And they did need to solve that goalkeeper issue. So, yeah, I'm expecting Rushworth to make a difference. The midfield is one of the best in the Championship. If they all stay fit, Sheaf, Grimes and Radoni, if that unit don't get injured, I think that trio of players inside the engine room can be the heartbeat of that team. They probably need another striker. I like Hadji Wright. I like Radoni, obviously, off the front. Mason Clark is getting better and better, but I don't know if I would trust Ellis Sims again, just 6 goals last season. So I can see maybe him going and a striker coming in. For me, they probably still need to sign another centre-back, but there isn't a lot wrong at Coventry. They were very, very solid last year. They impressed me for the most part. And I think that they have a squad that can certainly get into the playoffs again.
Normally we'd be talking at great length about playoff hangovers. Would you imagine that Coventry won't suffer anything like that, Clarkie, because of their second half of the season?
Yeah, it was kind of a bonus that they got there, wasn't it, in a way? So, yeah, there'll be disappointment, frustration, but I think they would have been able to sweep it aside because it was all a little bit unexpected. I mean, they were fantastic, weren't they? And I think that inside that dressing room, they will believe that maybe they weren't quite ready last year, but this time around, they might just be. So, yeah, I think they got a great shot. I would like Frank Lampard to have a little bit more money to spend, because I think if he gets that budget, he can maybe get them over the line.
We shall see. Sadly, we've reached the part of the show where we have to talk about Derby County, and they did do very well once they brought John Eustace in. Stayed up largely on the basis of their defensive record, I guess you would say. It's up front where they've strengthened more than anywhere else, Sam, with Andy Vyman coming back, Colton Morris, Rian Brewster in as well. Wouldn't expect them to be anywhere near relegation fodder this time around, he asked.
No, I'd agree. Completely. I think it's difficult to, you know, chuck curveballs in there at this stage when we don't know exactly what the squads are going to look like, how they're going to start the season. But I think continuity of having John Eustace there, how well he did back end of last season, the opportunity to add real strength and championship experience. You just expect them to be better, to be better defensively if that's possible, and probably have a little bit more going the other way. Patrick Adjumang as well, didn't mention there, him from Charlotte FC. I think he's recovering from a hernia operation, so we might not see him from the off. David Ozo as well, if you remember last autumn, we were going big on him the first, what, half a dozen games. He was scintillating and missed the majority of the season with injury. So that's a big coup to get him back. And yeah, they are a team I would really anticipate to finish a lot higher than they did the last campaign. A little bit light defensively. So you've lost cash in last season. Nat Phillips was playing. Obviously, he's at West Brom now. Langus, who came in second half of last season, injured for the last friendly. Matt Clark and Owen Beck. Obviously, Beck, one of the contingent that he's taken from Blackburn, I think, with niggles as well going into the season. So they're a little bit light defensively, but you can bet your bottom dollar that they will be one of the best organised defences, structures that the league will present. And yet, no worries really if John Eustace is the manager that they'll be in any kind of trouble.
Which probably contrasts quite starkly with the team we're going to talk about next, Adrian. They are Hull City. Stayed up on the last day of last term, promptly fired Ruben Selles, the man who achieved that for them. They brought in Sergei Jakirovic, the Bosnian, with his first job in English football. I mean, they're in for another season of struggle, aren't they? It's things that are happening off the pitch and making it difficult for them on it.
Yeah, it's just, can you trust the owner? That's the thing. He's made some really daft decisions, I think, in the last few years. And getting rid of Selles was a mistake, in my opinion. Jakirovic, in fairness, has won titles in Croatia and Bosnia. And pre-season has gone surprisingly well. I think that the players have performed pretty decently. There's been good energy about them. They've handled things, particularly without the ball. They've been very good. So the issue, though, is obviously the squad. And you look at it, it was light last year. Not enough championship experience. Too many overseas players that, you know, were they here for the money or not? Were they, you know, were they suited to the division? That's still the case, but they have brought in a few that are used to it. Semi Ajayi is a good signing. Akin Femewo from Sheffield Wednesday. John Lundstrom's a good one from Trabzonspor. I think he'll be a key player for them in the heart of midfield. But I'm just looking at the squad and thinking, well, who's scoring the goals? Where are they coming from? They've lost João Pedro. They've lost a couple of the other strikers they had. So your Gerhardt's not there. So yeah, they're not going to score enough goals and they're not going to finish above 16th. And they could end up in the bottom three.
Looks that way. Right, let's put in a little sting here to break things up a bit and then we'll carry on our championship chat. Ipswich, Sam, you played for them once upon a time. They are back in the Championship. Many people expecting them to make it another brief stay as they look to return to the Premier League at the first time of asking. They've kept Kieran McKenna, which I guess is the key thing. They've lost the likes of Dalat Morsi to Anzebi, maybe Amari Hutchinson too. But do you expect them to be up there contending for an immediate return? And I guess also they might be doing a fair bit more incoming business between now and when the window closes.
Yeah, I think so. Just the quality within the squad, the top championship players that were recruited. Yeah, they're a little bit akin to what I was talking about a few moments ago. If you think of Jack Clark, Shmodix, you know, Clark had the odd game in the Premier League, but he's been a scintillating championship player. Shmodix, yeah, another one. I suppose Hurst stepping in for Dalat. In terms of the profile of the centre forward that he is, very, very similar, but can he get the kind of return that Dalat brought, not only in the Premier League, but what he would have guaranteed in the Championship? A little bit of light in midfield, that axis of Luongo and Morsi served them so well over many a year. Maybe some more game time for Jack Taylor. Matusiwa, I think, is the defensive midfielder they brought in from France. Really heavy chunk of dosh for him. Supposed to be really combative. So he should go some way to fill in that void. But yeah, I think you're probably right. Maybe Leif Davis attracting a lot of attention and Hutchinson as well. So the squad may look slightly different. Brought in experience in Kipre and Ashley Young as well to bolster the ranks. But similar to my tone on various other clubs already, the manager is incredibly talented to keep him there when he was linked to what, Manchester United, Chelsea and some others a year ago. yeah, they're going to have a great opportunity at bouncing back, and expect them to do so. I think this is a difficult season to call, but I think above all the relegated teams and the sides that went close last year in the Championship, Ipswich do stand out above anyone else.
Always nice to have a team where they've got a player older than the manager as well. So shout out to Ashley Young for ticking that box for us. Interested on the next team we're going to talk about, Adrian. Leicester City, like Ipswich, having come down from the Premier League. Marty Cifuentes in for Ruud van Nistelrooy. I watched a bit of their pre-season game against Fiorentina on Sunday, and Fatawu looked pretty good in that. They've still got some decent attacking players, haven't they? But the X factor is how many, if any, points are they going to be deducted?
Yeah, it was the great unknown, isn't it? So it's hard to assess the promotion credentials, but I think whatever team Marty Cifuentes puts out will be strong at Championship level. Just think about how good they were, you know, 2 years ago. It's only just over a year ago, really, isn't it? When they were last in the division, they were phenomenal under Enzo Maresca, very dominant. And I look at the forward line, for instance, that featured in this friendly win against Fiorentina. Fatawu and Mavididi on the wings. I mean, they could rip the Championship up for me. Bilal Elkanous is a player I really like as a sort of number 10. Again, he could be phenomenal at Championship level. And, you know, okay, they'll probably have to get rid of at least one of these, if not both, because of the wages. But Jordan Ayew and Patson Daka are the current options in attack, I believe. So, yeah, they're going to be there or thereabouts. Got no doubt about that. It's just who do they sell and who do they have to get rid of because of the wages. I think Ndidi's going to go. You might see Winks go, somebody like that. James Justin, I think, has been linked with Everton. So they'll ship a few, but Wout Fash, probably for the best for everyone if he goes. I think that despite the stripping back, they'll be absolutely there or thereabouts. If there was no points deduction, I'd probably say Ipswich and Leicester would be my top two to go up.
We'll wait and see if their opening game of the season goes ahead, because it's against Sheffield Wednesday, who we'll talk about later. Next up, though, it is Middlesbrough. 10th last season, changing the dugout here as well, with Rob Edwards coming in for Michael Carrick. He knows what it takes to get promoted from the Championship. But I guess the jury's out to some extent, Sam, given how it finished for him at Luton. And he might be missing a Hayden Hackney before too long as well.
Yeah, and Vandenberg, I think there's strong talk of him going as well. He's not available at the moment. So, yeah, could be losing two of their better players. Yeah, I think this is really uncertain, I think, for Middlesbrough. I know there was a lot of dissatisfaction at the way that the season ended, despite them going into that game of Coventry with a chance of getting themselves into the playoffs. But yeah, I think the performances have been indifferent in pre-season. I think they're yet to win. I have seen kind of some criticism in the early weeks of summer under a new regime. I think he's going to go with a back three again. It was always going to be fascinating to me what the side was going to look like. What does Rob Edwards' team, when he's got a blank canvas, actually feel like, look like? Forest Green, they were really good. Obviously, really nicely set up in that back three, and it sounds like they're going to be the same. Sammy Silveira, who had a really limp loan spell at Portsmouth, has been the standout left wing back during the pre-season. But it's in attack. I didn't love them last season. Azaz obviously had a good first 6 months. Whittaker came in and struggled. I'm not sure Conway is going to be the answer to get you where the supporters want them to be, which is in the automatic shake-up or certainly in the playoffs. So I probably see more inconsistency, and that was probably the word that I associate most with Middlesbrough across the last season or so. So not a season, I think, where they're going to be right up there, but maybe one that is going to be a bit of a slow burner, another year of building, consolidation, and maybe Rob Edwards is going to have a little bit of time to get things right there.
Struggling to attract players, maybe. I don't know, because they've not really done much business, have they? And obviously, they tried to sneak in for Akpom. He said no. Obviously, with Birmingham and Ipswich in for him, that's probably understandable. But yeah, it's you just wonder whether he hasn't got the biggest of budgets there this summer as well, Rob Edwards.
Yeah, I think Callum Britton's been linked, isn't he? They brought in Alfie Jones from Hull, defensive midfield player called Kante. That's always a good idea. But yeah, not a great deal to excite, I would say. I've just got a little bit of a bad feeling about it. Not in terms of Rob Edwards. I think he's going to be a terrific manager, have a terrific managerial career. I'm not sure about this fit. We'll see.
We shall see, indeed. Millwall next up on the block for us. Eighth last season. I don't think, Clarky, they really wanted the season to finish, did they? Because they were revitalised by Alex Neil. Another club who looked like they've done a bit of decent business. Josh Coburn now on a perm. Alfie Doughty in as well amongst their captures. Could be set for another good season.
I think so, yeah. Massimo Luongo as well from Ipswich. He's a really sort of combative player. He just gets it, doesn't he, Alex Neil? I think he gets the club. It fits his personality, and he's signing players that also suit the style of play that the supporters expect and demand. So yeah, look, in pre-season they've gone with a 4-4-2. Ivanovic alongside Coburn up front, and Ivanovic and Coburn could be a really sort of strong front two. Alfie Doughty coming in at left back. Be interested to see him as an orthodox left back rather than as a wing back. I suppose they could play him on the left wing if they wanted as well. New goalkeeper in Bender. So yeah, look, I think Millwall can look forward to a decent campaign, definitely. And if some of the big boys sort of slip up and don't have the kind of season that we're expecting, Millwall could be one of those clubs that sneak in to the playoff picture.
Yeah, I think Norwich have probably got their eye on something similar, haven't they, Sam? We mentioned Liam Manning is now the manager. Norwich boy, of course, bounced around in mid-table since their latest relegation from the Premier League. But Manning knows how to get a team into the playoffs. You a bit more optimistic for the Canaries this season?
Yeah, I think so, marginally. I was optimistic about them 12 months ago, and I think a lot of what the previous manager, Torup, did was pretty eye-catching. Yeah. I like watching them, especially at home. And yeah, really interesting recruitment up there with the most interesting signings of the summer. Even yesterday, I think Topic coming in, a midfield player. Chris Garden, his record looks quite eye-catching. A lot of goals for Bromby, I think a Danish international. And Diallo, I think those two previous mentioned players are best part of 10 million. They've parted for them. Diallo's probably going to be I think he's wide left, so he's going to be the Saints replacement. Yeah, and there's been some good players bought from the continent in the last couple of seasons, none more so than Saints. Nunez, seeing that showed a little bit, didn't he? A young lad as well, I think 19, 20, can play a number of positions across the front, so he'll be exciting next season. I suppose the big question mark is where the Sergeant sticks around. I can't see that, to be honest. If he's been linked with Wolfsburg and a return to the Premier League, they're probably going to have to attack next season with a new number nine, which will be interesting where they go. But a little bit more clarity, I think, with new owners and the director of football in place now, having his opportunity during this window to bolster the squad. So I mean, you've got to be optimistic that they're going to be around the playoffs at least, and they have to improve on last season, because well away from it.
Yep, they got the old farm derby back too, which I'm sure they are looking forward to. Oxford next up for us, Adrian. 17th last season, lots of rancour at the time Des Buckingham was dismissed, but bringing Gary Rowe in ultimately justified, I suppose. Club record signing Brian de Keersmacher has got a superb name. That's where my analysis starts and ends. You can fill in some blanks there.
Well, I'll fill them in once I've seen him play. That's all right. But yeah, it's... no, look, it was harsh on Des Buckingham. We can't rewrite history, but Gary Rowett has come in and done a great job. He's a safe pair of hands, isn't he? And I do think that the loan market will be big for Oxford. And the problem is for clubs like Oxford, who can't go and spend 6 million here, 4 million there, like Norwich have. And they kind of have to wait and see who the Premier League teams are left with. And I think that a manager like Gary Rowett will be trusted by a lot of coaches at the higher level. And I know they've been linked with a couple of Liverpool youngsters, Kumas, who was at Stoke last year, and Jamie McDonnell as well. But there'll be others. So, yeah, they'll have to wait. They haven't done a great deal in the market. When I looked at the stats from last year, you know, they were fortunate maybe to be in 17th. You know, they had the fewest shots inside the box of all the teams. They faced the third highest number of shots, yet they seem to get themselves results. Yeah, it's going to be a battle for them. I expect them to be in the lower reaches, and if they can survive, that will be success in my eyes anyway.
It's the second season back in the Championship for them and for Portsmouth too. 16th they finished last term, thanks in large part to what they did at Fratton Park. Only lost twice there after November in the league. John Messino, Sam, somebody we've had on the pod before, somebody who we're very impressed with, and I guess that might be a problem for Pompey if they start well again and another team higher up the Championship, or you know, maybe even higher than that, does not. He's going to be on the wish list of some clubs, isn't he?
Yeah, I think it, paramount that they start well, not for that reason, because the Portsmouth fans will be absolutely desperate for him to stay, but for his reputation, I think he needs to keep improving Portsmouth, and that's easier said than done. I think for their man Oxford, God, what a challenge it is that second season after having that surprise element last year. The tactical shift that we witnessed from Portsmouth really paid off early part of the season, getting picked off, especially away from home, went more direct, more robust, front foot, loads of intensity. I probably expect that to remain. That will be interesting to see if there's anything done tactically. In terms of the signings, I quite like John Swift. Obviously, John Harley will know him well, his assistant from Chelsea. I think he's a local lad, so kind of back to where it all started for him. Couple of interesting midfield signings because they're a bit weak there. Luke Leroux, I think, is the defensive midfielder, and Kozanowski comes in as the box-to-box. They won at the weekend in their final friendly, but Bishop was missing and looks likely to miss the first weeks of the season. Waddingham, the lad they brought in from Australia, got the only goal. It was against European opposition. I can't quite recall who, but they need to address that, I would suggest, with Yenge and Sadie, who I know they really liked as a squad player, a bit of a utility player, could play as a 10 or down the middle. They're going to have to probably reinforce certainly the centre-forward position to give themselves an opportunity of mirroring what they did last year. But yeah, continuity with the squad, back five, really good last year. I wouldn't be as confident to say that they're not going to be in trouble. Maybe, you know, another season where they flirt with the drop. But yeah, I've got a lot of faith that John Messino is the real deal. And again, like a lot of these clubs we've mentioned, if he remains, then I'm sure they'll be fine.
Maybe a good season in prospect for them. Clearly, I wasn't feeling that positive when I wrote the few notes that I put about Preston here, Clarkey. Yeah. 20th last season, accurate. Then the most stale club in the EFL, question mark, never seems anything to be enthused by. Bunch of mare signings, mostly on freeze, going down. would you like to give North End fans something to be a bit more...
Well, it's a long time since they went down. They always seem to sort of do enough. Yeah, look, they don't have loads of money to spend in the market, do they? But what they've signed this summer is solidity. They've gone with more solid signings. To get Thierry Small out of Charlton was an interesting one. They're showing a lot of faith in Daniel Jeberson, who I think has still got a lot to prove, actually, in terms of whether he can cut it in the top two tiers of English football. He's the big loan signing. You've got Michael Smith, who's coming from Sheffield Wednesday. He is a good player. He can score goals in the Championship, no doubt about that. But they're after Kone, aren't they? They're really... want Richard Kone from Wickham, but they're up against, I think, three or four other clubs, and I don't know whether they'll be able to get Richard Kone, given that he's going to have quite a bit of choice. He was left out of the Wickham side, Kone, so at the weekend. They want him, but I don't know whether they'll get him. For me, as big an issue as the striker is really just finding some creative players, some players to just lift the crowd, make things happen. Yeah, it's all been a bit too functional for me at Preston for too many years. So I'd be looking to bring in a bit of flair if I could.
All right. Well, Queen's Park Rangers next up for us. Sam, they are your team. 15th last season. Marty Cifuentes thought he was going to West Brom, and it turned out he wasn't. In his place is Julien Stéphane. QPR started the last two seasons really poorly, haven't they? And that's kind of killed it for them. So he needs to get them off and running quickly. Maybe Kwame Poker will help them do that.
I hope so. Yeah, really exciting signing. One of the most exciting of the summer, I think. Did unbelievable to get him when you consider the size of some of the clubs that were certainly interested. I think Glasgow Rangers he was close to going to. So yeah, it's a hell of a signing for them. We'll see if it can translate his form in League One to the Championship. I think there was loads of optimism last summer because of what the manager had done the previous campaign, and it didn't go well at all. They gave themselves a lot to do, but I like a lot of the signings. I like the makeup of the squad. And Mbenge from Reading, really, really good pickup. Harvey Vell, I think, has recovered from his injury, so he'll come into the mix. And the prospect of Chair and Poku, Dembele, providing the ammunition for Frey, and now Burnell from Burton, which gives them a nice contrast. You got the old-fashioned target man in Frey, who I think is a decent player, and you got Burnell. Yeah, he's going to be raw and he's going to have to adapt to the level, but on the shoulder, he could be a masterstroke as a sign-in. Kieran Morgan, young midfield player, who I earmarked for big things last year when I saw him. He's going to be better this campaign and probably used more frequently. And I don't know, maybe it's just because Cifuentes was a decent success that I quite like this approach. Julian Stefan, sorry if I bored you about this before, but his dad is the little bald chap you always see in Didier Deschamps' shadow for France. So he's a long time, I think, assistant of the French national team. So the family is of good stock, coaching stock, and he's been successful at his previous roles at Rennes and Strasbourg, I think. So, yeah, I'm optimistic about the squad. There's a hole at left back. I think Kenneth Parle is off, and a young lad playing there against Brentford in a narrow defeat at the weekend. But I feel pretty similar to how I did a year ago. It shouldn't be a season where QPR struggle. And, probably rightly a few people's dark horses, I would say. Yeah, maybe on a par with Millwall. I think, you know, you can be optimistic than those teams. If it is a pretty open championship season, they could be around the playoff places.
Well, a team who were around the playoff places last season got all the way to the final of them, in fact, were Sheffield United. A really interesting coaching change here. Adrian, Chris Wilder left. They always lose the playoff final, don't they, Sheffield United, but that was it for him. Ruben Selles gets sacked by Hull and then gets a massive upgrade. He clearly must be thanking his lucky stars. Is it going to work out for him? And are Sheffield United going to go close again?
Yeah, fell on his feet big time, didn't he? I do like Ruben Selles. I think he's a really good coach, but he's lucked out here. And it's going to be interesting to see how he fares with expectations, because obviously at Southampton, they were dead and buried when he took over, and then it was Reading and Hull. You know, he's had difficult jobs wherever he's been. He's actually got a really good job now where they expect to be right at the top of the league. So how will his teams play? How will he react to that? That's the big question mark. I love the fact that he's got Louis Barry from Aston Villa on loan. Tyler Bindon as well on loan from your boys, Nottingham Forest, but he really was a star at Reading. Excellent centre-back. So, yeah, I like that. They've lost Vinny Souza, which is a blow. And I do think in central midfield, they're pretty light, actually. I think they need to recruit in that area. But they've still got Gus Heyman. They've still got Callum O'Hare. They've got a number of the guys from last year. So, yeah, they're going to be top four, surely. I mean, with a chance of top two. I don't see any reason why I should be predicting a downturn for Sheffield United this season.
Yeah, and for Sheffield Wednesday supporters to have even a crumb of that optimism going into the new season. They are the Championship's crisis club. Players handing in their notice, late payments to staff members, Danny Rowles already left, the EFL concerned they're not going to be able to fulfil their fixtures. Players informed they're going to have to pay for their own hotel rooms if they want to stay overnight before upcoming away matches. I mean, it's really bad, Sam, when this happens to Bury or Morecambe, who look like they might be about to go under as well. But for it to happen to Sheffield Wednesday, such a massive club in the history of English football, would be one of the worst things to happen to the game in this country in decades, wouldn't it? This is massively concerning.
Yeah, unthinkable. And it's just been continuous, hasn't it, for so many years now. One blow after another. One of my favourite places to go and play. Brilliant club, brilliant ground, such history. So desperately worrying situation. Yeah, I suppose I saw Barry Bannon's comments about the new coach and try to give him enormous credit, I think, for sticking around. And if they come through this, he should be, you know, a hero for forevermore. And I presume the lads that are there, can they get that siege mentality? There's not going to be many of them, but the squad of what, 15, 16 or whatever there is, kind of first team players that are still on the training ground day after day, can they find it to get a bit of unity before the opening games come around? It's going to be difficult. I think the fans are going to be feeling particularly angry rather than probably thinking about the points that they need to get on the board to get themselves into a position where they're not going to be certainties for relegation. But the players are going to have to try and find something. There's some decent professionals still there, like Jamal Lowe, Chalaba, Iorfa, Palmer, who's been there and through the mill many a time with the club. But yeah, I can't sit here today and suggest anything but relegation for them in their current guise. Hopefully the situation gets sorted. They get new owners and the finances back on an even keel where they can at least compete, because the reality is the strength of the championship. It's a season where it's looking like it's going to be relegation and uphill battle.
Yeah, and we've got to get better at vetting these owners to stop stuff like this from happening every single season. Southampton, not many teams that they can feel superior to. I guess Sheffield Wednesday will be one of those, but coming in, Clarkie, off the back of a terrible season, should point out that they did get 12 points, so Derby County do remain the worst team in history. But, I mean, you can either pick your wheel still, pun, or you can tell me a little bit how they're going to do. I mean, is it an easier job for him or a more difficult job for him because of what happened to them last season? Low base, but got to try and instill some confidence that clearly is not there at the moment.
Yeah, no, I would lean towards that. I think that the only way is up, isn't it? And I think that they'll be delighted to have him. He'll bring a real fresh energy. You know, he's managing in this country for the first time. It's a big job for him. If he succeeds, he could easily be propelled into a Premier League job, either with Southampton or elsewhere. So yeah, it's exciting times for him. And he's got a squad still, hasn't he, that should absolutely be in the top four or five. He's spent a little bit of money, not a lot. I think Kouachi from Hoffenheim is a defender. A big striker, Damian Downs, USA international, 7 million. He's going to be the replacement for Onuachu. He's the big guy up front. Probably got a bit more about him than Onuachu. So that's going to be interesting, because he's already got, of course, Cameron Archer and Adam Armstrong. So is that going to be the front three? If it is, I mean, they're just going to score goals, aren't they? I suspect that they'll lose Mateus Fernandes. He's a terrific talent, young.
And probably Dibbling as well.
Definitely Dibbling, yeah. I mean, they're not going to get the 100 million that they wanted for Dibbling, are they? I mean, that was a ridiculous valuation, but they might get 30 and, you know, they can reinvest that maybe in the rest of the team. So, yeah, Shay Charles, talking to Sheffield Wednesday, I think he's back there in centre mid with Flynn Downs. I think they're going to be fine. I think they're going to be pushing for an immediate return. And look, I'm just really interested to see what Will Steel brings to the table tactically, because he comes with a great reputation, doesn't he?
He sure does, yeah. Stoke City next up for you, Sam. Again, not feeling too positive about them. In fact, I've labelled them the misery guts club of the last few seasons. Mark Robbins came in midway through, not somebody who's known for his singing and dancing and vivacious personality. Struggled really to make much of an impact, in fairness, didn't he? How are you feeling about Stoke this time round?
Let's endear ourselves to the fans of Stoke and Preston. Right, take travel out of the equation. Where would you want a season ticket, one or the other?
Stoke or Preston? Stoke.
Stoke, yeah, probably.
Marginal, though, isn't it? Made you think. Is this where he inserted me saying that they're going to go up this year? I think I did it 3 out of the 4 years of the podcast. I feel pretty similar, well, probably worse about Stoke than I do Middlesbrough. They could prove me wrong very easily, because you just don't know what you're going to get. I just don't think they've probably improved in, they need to improve in every department. I think I remember seeing them at Millwall back end of last season, and I think that was a pretty acceptable performance on the day there. I think they went down to a late Millwall penalty, but you know, I didn't see anything to suggest that there was going to be a huge turnaround at the club. I think the uncertainty off field has had a massive knock-on effect, and yeah, they probably just need a couple of seasons of growth. In terms of the signings, Sorba Thomas, quite eye-catching. They've lost Berger, obviously. He was probably their standout ball player from last season. A lot of the names remain. Stephen Nzonzi's on trial, which I'm enjoying. I think he was there about 15 years ago. The picture I saw of him, he was being cuddled by Crouchy, so that shows you how long ago it was. Quite like Maxi, the defender who came in at Argyle last season and did pretty well. But goals, Mubama.
Yeah, lad from, he was at West Ham, wasn't he, a kid?
Been watching this guy, Divine Mubama, in academy football for what feels like about 15 years.
He's one good in academy football, wasn't he? Really good, right?
Yeah, I think, didn't he score for West Ham maybe in a European game? But yeah, I don't know if that translates straight into being a number nine at a championship club. Robert Bosnick from Boa Vista, Slovakian, another centre forward, 24, 25. So yeah, good kind of age profile, someone coming to a new league. But yeah, I, I don't think that they're going to be up there challenging. I think a top half finish with vast improvement would be hugely acceptable for everyone from Stoke, and maybe Mark Robbins having a tilt at it next year.
This feels like the downer section of the pond. It's just the way the alphabet works, I'm afraid. We're coming to Swansea, Clarkie. You should never appoint the caretaker. I just can't get past that. I know Alan Sheehan did well toward the end of last
season. Very right.
Yeah. How often does it work when you appoint the caretaker? And also, I know they had a good run to the end of last season, but they look mid-table-y again to me. And without Cardiff there, you kind of wonder, what have they got to look forward to, particularly this time around?
Yeah, there's a lot of excitement when Luka Modric obviously became part of the ownership group.
And Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, Snoop Dogg as well. I mean, what's that all about? And they are after Richard Kone as well. So they're going to look to spend a bit of money. But I look at the squad at Swansea, I don't think very many of them are top-end championship players. I just don't. I think they have the look of a bottom-half team to me, even though Sheehan did brilliantly, even though they finished the end of last season fantastically well, even though they signed a couple of good players. Obviously, Cameron Burgess at the back comes in. Ethan Galbraith is a really good pickup, I think, from Leyton Orient in midfield. He'll maybe sort of look to replace Matt Grimes finally with him. But I look at the squad and I just think bottom half for sure could be in trouble because they don't have many goals, do they? Just don't have many goals in them, which is why they're after Richard Koenig.
Yeah, it could be a long season for Swansea then. Might say the same about Watford, Sam. Absolute classic Watford. Here's a manager you've never heard of, Paolo Pezzolano. I'm sure you're going to tell me everything about his career. It's Watford doing Watford things, isn't it? They're kind of drifting as a club. I'm not sure that's going to change this time around.
Yeah, but I mean, it's genius because he's won promotion, I think, on three occasions from second tiers.
Wow. Okay.
Across the globe. So some method to the madness. Now, I mean, God knows, I thought Cleverley's team was pretty good to watch. And I enjoyed some of the tactical setup that he'd got into that Watford side. Some really exciting young players. And I understand that this chap is... he's good at working with young players and improving them. The likes of Barr, Vata, two front players who are exciting. Dumbia, I like the look of him towards the tail end of last season. Obviously brought in some younger players as well from various different leagues to complement the likes of Loser. And as I speak, Chuck Vatadze, who kind of remain at Vicarage Road. So I think the 11 has got the makings of something quite exciting. What they're going to serve up, God only knows. But I wouldn't discount them from being top half. I think we probably accumulatively with everyone else wrote them off a little bit too prematurely last season, and they actually, you know, had a tilt at it the first 6 months of the campaign. So I wouldn't look at it and expect it to be a season where they're, you know, battling in the bottom four, because I think if there's any concern about that, they'll probably change the manager a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A couple of teams left to go. West Bromwich Albion, last one for you, Clarkie. Ninth last season. Ryan Mason, is it a risky / cost-saving appointment, or is it a visionary one of somebody who has been highly rated during his time as a coach at Spurs?
Well, it could be the latter. Look, he served a bit of time, hasn't he, working on the staff at Spurs, and he's popular. He might be an absolutely brilliant manager, but we don't know. And West Brom don't know. Ryan Mason doesn't know, does he? So let's see. What I would say is it's risky on both sides. I think it's a risky appointment for West Brom, and it's also a risky first job for Ryan Mason, because they haven't got loads of money at the moment, West Bromwich Albion. They've got a pretty small squad as it stands. They need to beef it up, I would say, between now and the end of the window to handle the long championship winter. So yeah, it's not going to be easy for him at all. The recruitment is hard to judge at the moment. Then apart from that, Phillips, there's not a lot of players that I'm particularly familiar with. And West Bromwich Albion fans have been used to signing players that we've all heard of that you know, could be game changers. They haven't always worked, but just the sense I have from the outside looking in is that, yeah, there's not massive ambition there at West Brom this season. I don't see them going up. I really don't.
could be a mid-season for them then. Last of all, Wrexham, Sam, promoted as League One runners-up. Only second time in their history they've been in the second tier. We know all about the owners. They've made some good-looking additions, haven't they, so far? Lewis O'Brien, Connor Cody, Ryan Hardy, Josh Windass, all people who you think will be able to add some real quality to their squad. But Phil Parkinson doesn't have a great record in the Championship. That's going to be the interesting thing, I guess. See how he adapts.
If the style of play, the robustness, if that translates to taking scalps in the second tier. You would suggest maybe with the Cody signing, that's going to be him in the middle of a back three. They did that, didn't they, with, what's his name, with the long throw, help me out here, Clarkie.
Oh, yeah.
Ben Tozer.
Oh, yeah. Good
he was kind of the one that could get on the ball. I don't know if Cody possesses the long throw, but yeah, accumulating really good Championship quality players. And Broadhead looks like he might join Kiefer Moore as well, just tallying up.
They love a striker, don't they? Goodness, yeah. And how many do you want?
And I'd say Sam Smith's probably a guaranteed starter when you consider, you know, the impact he had when he came in the back end of last season. So the squad's going to be strong. The style of play, I don't think will change. I think they'll be fine, but I don't think it's a season where we're going to be talking about them upsetting the odds to the degree of maybe Birmingham, who I would have in the top eight with no question, probably.
Mm. All right. That was our mega Championship preview. Long pod today, so let's just have a brief chat about what we saw in week one in Leagues 1 and 2. Sam, you can go first, seeing as you kicked off the season on Friday night at Kenilworth Road.
Yeah, I don't think I learned too much, actually. You know, I felt there was going to be a little bit of a bedding in period for the Hatters, despite them ending last season pretty well. I think they won 6 out of the last 12 games. Certainly, they were much better defensively during that period, which was absolutely echoed in their performance on Friday. But it's that fluidity, it's that cohesion in midfield and amongst the forward players that's lacking. And that's where they need to get better if they're going to be amongst the front runners in the table. It won't half help seeing a new centre forward join in Jerry Yates, obviously paraded before the game. That's where they need a little bit more help, a little bit more firepower, a little bit more creativity. So they've gone some way to mending that, but it's going to take a bit of time. Anyone who thinks that Luton are going to run away with this or be in the top 2-3 for the entirety of the season, I'm not having it at all. And I was probably saying this last year about Luton Town in the Championship and it ended in relegation. So I don't think this is going to be a quick fix. Adding to that what Clarkie said last week, we've been losing so many games. It's going to take a little bit of time to turn that mood around the whole place. And it was a really poor game and a really ugly goal. Comical own goal to win it for Luton. They won't care. It was really important that they won the game. Melenik Ali, probably the one with a bit of spark, as we anticipated, and he's going to be massive for them. And the reason I said I didn't learn anything is Wimbledon were absolutely brilliant without the ball. They were incredibly solid. The two outside centre-halves, Ryan Johnson and Ogundere, 9 out of 10 performances. Johnson scores the winning goal for Luton. But yeah, Wimbledon are brilliantly set up. They just obviously could not quite execute that pass on the counter-attack. Dan Orty coming in for them. Another lad signed from Sheffield United whose name escapes me, but he showed his pace off the bench. So all of a sudden, things are looking better for them in an attacking sense. And they have to be better than they were Friday because I don't think they had a shot on Luton's goal, which is not the way they would want to start going forward. But in terms of the overall performance, I think pretty acceptable from everyone of a Don's persuasion.
Antoine Hackford.
Thank you.
Is the name that you were looking for.
Thank you.
Adrian, meanwhile, you were also on League One duty. Your game looks a bit more fun than Sam's, to be fair. Bradford Wickham, how was it?
Loads more fun, yeah. Nearly 20,000 there at Valley Parade. Brilliant, amazing atmosphere. Really, really noisy. You could see the feel-good factors there. And they flew out of the blocks, Bradford, goodness me. Didn't have very much of the ball at all. Sort of 30-35% of the ball. Let Wickham have it. but their pressing, and I get why, because their pressing is unbelievable. Humphreys leads it at the top end of the pitch, and you've got Poynton and Sarcevic, and you've got the right winger from Wimbledon.
Nerville,
yeah. He was probably the best player on the pitch, Josh Nerville, against Wickham. They steal it back, and they're at you in a flash, and they create some really good chances. Lots of big chances. The new look back three, Tilt, Wright, and Pennington look good. Tommy Lee in midfield, I liked his performance, a really good technician. So yeah, Bradford, I think, have the makings of being a decent League One team. Don't expect them to be anywhere near the drop zone, but I don't think they've quite got enough maybe control on the ball. You know, they won't be able to control matches in the way that they'd need to if they want to go up. So I don't see them getting promoted. I do feel that they can be top half this season, Bradford City, which I think would be progress under Graham Alexander. Yeah, very good start. Wickham, not so good. They did improve after the break, but they need to sell Kone, don't they, and look to bring in some players with the money that they receive.
Predictions of sorts in there from Craggy. As we wrap up the show now, we'll do our predictions. Ugh, annoying. Week one following the same pattern at the end of last season. Sam got 3 points, Adrian 2, me 1. All Sam's points came from correctly predicting that Luton would beat Wimbledon by 1-0. This week, the Championship kicks off. Birmingham versus Ipswich on Friday. What's going to happen, Adrian?
Low scoring game. 1-0.
That's what I was going to say. Sam?
Big crowd. One team heavily fancied. The other side, not as much, but still quite fancied. Vociferous home support. Intimidating. 1-0.
Oof. Wow, okay. Big shout. I'll go for 2-1 Ipswich in that case. And I will go first on Leighton Orient against Wigan, which I think is going to be a 2-2 draw. What about you, Sam?
I am going to go for Wigan to start with a 6-point haul from 2 games. Orient to be slow at the starter's blocks. 2-1 Wigan.
1-2 as I will write it. Gillingham, Walsall.
Hang on, do I not get on,
sorry, yes, you 18. Orient, Wigan.
Yeah, Orient went for it, and 2 attacking sides. Orient created plenty against Huddersfield, by the way. So no shame maybe in that defeat. I'm going to back the host here, Leighton Orient, to bounce back and beat Wigan. I do think both teams will score 2-1.
Okay, lots of goals in that game, hopefully. Gillingham Walsall is the last one for us. Sam, what's going to happen here?
Good opening day victory for Walsall against my former Charges. Is that their terminology? I'm going to go for Walsall to get Gareth Ainsworth here. I'm going to go 2-0, Gills.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Adrian?
Gillingham 1, Walsall 0.
Okay, let's spice up a bit. I'm going to say that it's going to be a 1-1 draw. How about that? So we've got something a bit different there. All right, nearly done for today. Let me remind you one more time, though, of the offer from our partners, Quinbet, where you can now get 50% back up to £25. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £25, minimum 3 bets. Even if your account's up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18 plus, and for new UK customers only, visit gamblerware.org for information on responsible gambling. A last thing on the agenda, the triumphant return of Tweet of the Week. This one comes from Bez Lubala of Stevenage, who says, delighted to make my debut for at Stevenage FC. The team's performance was outstanding and we earned a well-deserved win. Huge thanks to our travelling supporters for their energy and backing. Also, a special thank you to the at Blackpool FC fans for their kind messages. It's always a pleasure to play at Bloomfield Road Stadium. Hashtag glory to God. Now, Sam, you've really piqued my interest with a theory here. This is the 2025 equivalent of can you put something like, you reckon he's asked ChatGPT to do this for him?
Yeah, or his agent, who's impeccable in terms of his spelling and his punctuation. I mean, if this is Bez Lubala's own work, then he has taken over from the brain of Britain, Clark Carlisle, as the most intelligent footballer of all time. Sensational. But you can't call it Bloomfield Road Stadium. That's my biggest gripe with it. Bloomfield Road would have sufficed. But if it's his own work, I mean, let's get him on the pod.
What I like about it as well, Clark, is I just looked at his profile. He doesn't follow anybody. Like, no. Liam Gallagher levels of swag to that.
Oh, yeah, he really doesn't care, does he? He's no interest in what anyone else has to say. Yeah, look, it's painfully dull, isn't it? It's too polite. I think someone else has written it. I do believe that this could be ChatGPT or something similar there. Yeah. Write me a tweet that thanks both Stevenage and Blackpool fans. I don't know. But yeah, it's a funny one. Sometimes though, you know, I don't know his situation, but if you don't speak perfect English, you know, you haven't been brought up in this country, you can be really, really sort of polite in the way that you go about, because you've learned English properly, maybe. So maybe it is, and it's just the way he speaks when he writes it down. But I'm with Sam. I think this is AI written all over it.
Yeah, a lot, just running through a lot of his tweets have that feel to them. Thank you for your amazing support today. Not quite our day in the end, but focus now turns to Crawley. Yeah, we're watching
this. It's just like, don't bother. Like, just a message to footballers out there, if you are listening. If that's what you want to put out there, just leave it.
A message from me, very much don't do that, because I want this feature to run for the entirety of the season. That is where we're going to leave this mammoth edition of What the EFL. We'll be back with another one next week. Hey, in the meantime, the best way you can help us is to leave us a nice review, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your pods, or just tell somebody.
Tell your friends. Yeah, tell your friends.
The best way for us to grow this podcast, and we would appreciate it a lot. That's where we'll leave it for today. There. Thanks to Sam. Thanks to Adrian. Thanks to you as well. Catch up with you next week. Bye for now.